This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
It's Hard Drive DL time. That's right. Thanks for checking us out. My name is Paulie Walnuts. I'm glad you've decided to join us today for this awesome double feature episode. First up, from Thousand Foot Crutch, we got Trevor McNevin calling in to Lou on the hotline.
I'm Lou Brutus. Always a pleasure to welcome Trevor McNevin from Thousand Foot Crutch to the show. How the hell are you?
I'm good, brother. Thanks so much for having me, buddy. Always a pleasure.
Where are you calling in from?
I'm in my hometown, actually, of Peterborough, Ontario, Canada.
Tell me all about it. Tell me, like, what do people do there? What are the good restaurants? What do you do for fun? What are the movie theaters? I'm dead serious. Like, tell me about your hometown.
Yeah, dude, it's a pretty small town. I mean, so to speak, I guess probably 65,000-70,000 people. This is a pretty amazing music scene, man, here that is kind of has been my whole life. And so there were some big bands like Mother Earth in Canada was a pretty big Canadian rock band that came from here. Sebastian Bach, actually, Skid Row is from Peterborough. And a lot of hockey players kind of come out of this little town. It's kind of a hockey town. But yeah, it's great, man. Both my wife and both sets of parents live here still, and so we're back visiting some family now, and there's lots to do, lots of amazing little kind of independently owned restaurants and great spots like that, and lots of music, man, so we love it.
I would imagine everybody in town knows who you are and what you do. What are the reactions like?
It's a pretty great, like, camaraderie around here, man. I think, you know, we grew up here and spent a ton of time here and have always been back and forth, so it's all love, man. It's not pretty low drama, but, yeah, you kind of are definitely, you know the community here. And we all love each other and try to give back however we can, man. There's always fun stuff going on kind of musically that we hop in and out of, too, and we're back. And, yeah, it's great, man. I love it. You know, your hometown's always has a special place in your heart, you know?
Is it always dangerous if you're in a local bar and any of the, you know, current or ex-hockey players are there? It is my experience with my friends who have played in the NHL that all of them can drink more than any other creature on God's green earth.
That may be true. I think you're onto something there, brother.
So let's talk about Untraveled Roads. This is a live album on the way, September 15, and this was recorded basically everywhere.
It was, man. We did a tour called the Winter Jam Spectacle, or Spectacular, I think is what the full name was, but it was 46 cities across the U.S. A couple months ago, and so we actually recorded every night of that tour, man, and then kind of picked in, you know, chose the best body for this live album. But we really wanted to capture that live energy, man, in a way that we hadn't in quite a while. We released that one called Live at the Masquerade in 2010 that kind of covered all of our back catalog, man. And we had never released any live material, kind of taking a look at the last 5 years, man, since we went independent. And so these are the last three records and a lot of those songs. And it's been a blessing, man. It's been a lot of fun to put together and, you know, we're just so excited about it. It's definitely, we feel like we were able to capture that energy. And it's an exciting listen, man. You know, whether you've, dug all of the songs or the records or whatever, it's definitely got a little something for everybody.
As you continued the touring that you had been recording at that time, did you know when you came off stage that night, like, song X, song Z, song Y, that's the best one we've done, that's the one that's going to end up on the record? Did you know right off, or did you have to go and sort of hunt and peck through things?
A bit of both, man. There was definitely nights, you know, where you come off and you could just feel it. You're like, man, you know, that wasn't perfect, but it was right. And some of those definitely are on this. We didn't want it to be perfect. We just wanted it to be real. But yeah, there was a lot of sifting through after as well, and just kind of listening and kind of, you know, when anything that didn't feel that way right off the bat was kind of like, all right, let's find the best moment that kind of best captures that authentically, you know? So yeah, it's been very cool, man. It's been a lot of fun to put together. And we actually are doing video edits of every song as well that will be going kind of directly to the TFK YouTube channel. So there'll be video for all 12 songs as well, man.
Well, and you know what? I think it's always really exciting for people when they know that, A, it's being recorded and you know, they're in the midst of it, or if something makes an official album later and you know you're one of those people going, it really is a hell of a kick in the pants.
Yeah, no, man, I hear that. I mean, you know, we're giant fans of music and feel the same way when we're at shows, you know, and there is something about just capturing that experience together. And, you know, the live side of this band is a big part of who we are, man. And it's so important to us to be able to kind of recreate that honestly. And so it's been very cool, brother, for sure. And there was something else that we did that we've never done before. And kind of really wanted to stop and just honor everyone that's been walking this journey with us, man. And we're doing this piece that'll be on the YouTube channel as well, called Stories. It's we kind of just ask people to send in video, you know, in their rooms or in their own territory, in their own places, just kind of sending in videos talking about, you know, how the song spoke to them or certain albums or songs, and kind of what that meant to them and how that spoke to them the same way that music speaks to us. And so we really wanted to have this piece just to kind of celebrate and honor each of their stories and say thank you, you know? And so I'm really excited about that piece, man, that we're still putting it together, but it should be all put together pretty soon.
I would have to think that some of the stuff, well, it's got to make you feel good, but some of it, I know for a fact, it has been pretty heavy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're right, man. There's, you know, music is such a powerful thing, man. And, it definitely has the ability to speak to our souls, and it's a you know, an amazing thing that way. And there's, you know, much like we've all kind of been through our own things and our own journeys, and everyone feels like they're the only one going through it, you know. But when you start to talk about it, or you kind of open the door in conversation, you realize that a lot of us can relate on a lot of those levels, and a lot of these songs are just talking openly about that, man. And our faith is definitely a big part of who we are, man. And never has been our genre, but is a big part of our lifestyle, and so that is just kind of an honest progression in the music as well.
Trevor, if you would, you know, since we're talking live recording and stuff, are there any examples of live albums that you love currently, that you grew up on, things that inspired you? I mean, what are your faves?
And, you know, there's, I know Pearl Jam has, like, probably 150 live albums, but there's been a couple pivotal ones when I was growing up, man, that I certainly played out. And, you know, more recently than not, you know, the Jay-Z Linkin Park one was definitely a special moment in music as well, I thought. And there's been so many, man, different genres, different things. And I love watching that stuff. I'm a big documentary guy, too, so I'm always watching the classic album stuff and just geeking out on those, you know. And Def Leppard Hysteria and the old Beatles ones to Nevermind to, you know, Tom Petty. So I love that stuff, for sure.
What was your first concert?
My first concert, I actually snuck out of my parents' house to see, it was Trooper, actually. Do you remember Trooper? It was like an old like 80s band, and they were playing with April Wine.
I remember the name. I don't think I ever saw them. April Wine I definitely saw when I was a kid. Trooper, okay. I remember, I swear to God, I'm not making, if I didn't remember the name, I'd say so.
Yeah,
I remember the name, but I don't think I ever saw them. And I was going to, you know, I grew up in Central Jersey, so both New York and Philly were less than an hour away. So I was going to like four or five concerts a week when I was a kid, and I saw damn near everybody, but never saw Trooper. Canadian,
that's
right?
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. And I just remember this now, but actually Tesla was on the bill. Remember, he talks to angels and signs and all that stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, Tesla, I've seen, man, I saw them back in the day. I've seen them recently, too. They're still a kick-ass band live.
Nice. That's amazing, man. Yeah, those three bands were my first official rock show, for sure.
Good. So September 15 is going to be the release date for Untraveled Roads. Are you guys going back on the road yourselves?
We will be, man. We're actually, I'm just taking a bit of a break off the road at the moment, which is the first time we've ever done that, man, just to kind of take a breather and enjoy family. And we just finished three tours in a row. So it's been a nice moment, man, kind of catching our breaths and getting ready for the live album release. And we had some great tours, but we're looking forward to the future, man.
Well, listen, Trevor, it's always great to talk to you. Good luck with the live album, and I can't wait to see all the fan stuff that that has come
Thanks
in
so much,
and
dude.
That you've been working on. So keep us abreast, and we'll talk again as the thing hits.
All right, brother. Thank you so much, Lou. Appreciate it, man.
This is Hard Drive DL. Check out more. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app or visit harddriveradio.com.
Hey, I'm Lou Brutus, Chris, Ben, John, and John Fred from Blackstone Cherry join me now. Always a pleasure. Good to see you, John Fred.
Dude, it's awesome to see you. Thank you for coming down here today.
Ben, how are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
I'm good, and I hear you got a guitar back, too.
I did. I recovered it right before the 4th of July. Actually, the day before the 4th of July, I got it back, so it was a good... I freed it. It was a good freedom day. Now, I found it. Chris actually helped me. He sent me a link to a guitar and said, hey, could this be yours? And lo and behold, I did some research, and it was mine. So I drove to Indiana and went and got it that night.
How'd you lose it? How'd it get there?
We were on tour in 2014, and while we were gone, our storage shed in our hometown was broken into. So they stole six of my guitars, an amp head of Chris's, some cymbals off of John Freer, just stuff that we had left in our shed, you know, that we didn't take on the road with us.
So obviously they had a bass player, because no bass gear was stolen. So the band had a bass gear. You know, yeah.
So it had been since 2014, and we'd been, staying positive, you know, thinking one of these is going to come up somewhere, and then lo and behold, you know, 2017, I find one. So now I just kind of rejuvenates me and want me, you know, I really want to try and locate the other ones now that there's a ray of light that one of them is, they're not all at the bottom of some river somewhere, hopefully. So we'll see.
Good. Chris, you guys have done a hell of a job on this cycle for the Kentucky album, and you are diving right into another release where I think you guys truly get back to your roots. Tell me all about this blues EP coming out.
Man, it was something that we had wanted to do for a while. I mean, we've always done, you know, covers and especially blues songs in the live setting. And actually, Vinny, our manager, was like, man, you guys should do, you know, an EP between albums of blues songs. And we were like, that'd be awesome. That'd be great. You know, and we picked a couple songs and tried them at soundcheck. And we were like, we could definitely, you know, kind of do this. We went in the studio, man, for 5 days and recorded and mixed the whole thing. And it was a lot of fun. We did some Albert King, some Freddie King, Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf stuff. And it's six songs. And we're really excited for people to get to hear this, man, because it's one of the... one of the deep places in our band that has always been there, but now it gets to shine through to the front.
There are so many tunes I know you guys have covered already that you've done in the live set. When it came time to boil this stuff down and do it, like, how'd you figure it out?
We knew that we wanted to do Born Under a Bad Sign, just because we all love that song. And that's one that we hadn't done before. Built for Comfort we had been doing for a while. We did it a little different on the EP. And Hoochie Coochie Man was a song we had done before as well. Now, for Palace of the King, we actually were doing that song when we were like 18 years old trying to get a record deal. Well, we used to do that song. And then Champagne and Reefer was one that we kind of decided to do. And we didn't know how we were going to do it until we got to the studio and we just listened. And we had five songs. We were like, man, we need to do one more. And we got to listening to stuff, and one of my all-time favorite blues records is the Muddy Waters Heart Again record that Johnny Winter did. And I Want to Be Loved, number two on that, is just like, it's one of the coolest grooves and vibes on a blues album ever, in my opinion. So we were listening through to a bunch of different stuff, and we were like, let's go do that one, man. Let's just go do that, have fun, put some guitar solos in it, and roll with it. And, you know, it was all very natural. Like, it wasn't like really, not much of it was premeditated at all. It was all, that song's pretty awesome, let's try that. You know, and if it doesn't work, let's do a different song.
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Are you guys going to tour? Are you going to do any special shows in any special places? Like, I would love to hear you guys doing, I would love to hear that you guys are doing like a show in Memphis and one in Chicago, one in Detroit, and maybe one in down in Clarksdale. Is there any chance of that?
I think you just planned out the greatest blues tour for us. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, we would love to do that. You know, we haven't really got that far to go, well, we should do a mini tour, you know, but wouldn't that be cool? I mean, to go to those great cities, man, Ground Zero and places that, you know, all that music evolved from. Hey, man, you never know. I mean, that's something to think about. I think, you know, it's hard because this, like you were saying, Chris, too, this is something we wanted to do for a long time. And in the studio, like, I'm guilty of it. You know, I'm like, hey, one more song, man, come on, let's do this, let's do that one. And it was Ben who's actually like, man, we should just do six songs because, like, we got an album coming out. But I think this is something we're going to do a lot more of, is EPs and making special projects that, you know, we haven't had the chance or time to do, because, you know, you make a full album and you go out and tour, and hopefully you get to tour 2 years off that album now, you know, because people are, you know, it's a time of turning over albums very quickly versus, you know, a decade ago.
Well, the whole reason behind the EP thought process was to give the fans something to hold them over until we get the next record done, which we're going to record later this year. But in turn, it ended up being something more for us, to where we, to where it was something for us to go in and literally take all the pressure and all the thought process out of making music and just go play the songs, just go play them and have fun. And, you know, like, there's one song, it's Built for Comfort, actually, that goes from one tempo to a completely different tempo, back up to another tempo, and it's, that stuff was a lot of fun, just to kind of break free of every formula that you had ever used and just go for a song, you know?
And John, I would have to think, particularly with this material and these songs, you had to do it without too many takes, because these are songs that you do not want to do too many times. You do not want to beat the life out of these things in the studio.
That's very true. Actually, when we did this, our rule was we have to get the songs in one take. So we would go in and honestly, we'd just crack it out. We'd kind of listen to the song three or four times and, like, run over parts a little bit here together, and, like, so we knew what the form of the song was and all that, and just went in and laid it down. It was a very quick turnaround process. We recorded all of it in a week's time, and it was a killer experience for us, too, to be digging back into our roots like that, especially moving forward now with the new material, because it has greatly re-influenced us again. So the new record, I mean, it's not a new, you know, blues album that we're working on for our next record, but that stuff, you can definitely hear the highlights of that.
To go, you know, into that direction. It's, John, to touch on what John's saying, doing the blues EP, Black the Blues, it rejuvenated us to be able to get the vibe right to start the writing for this next record. I mean, we started writing the upcoming record back in January of this year, and, you know, it's we've had songs for, you know, years that get tossed around and they might make an album or they get held over for another album. But I think where we're at now is we've noticed that, you know, Blackstone Cherry is a live band. And that's what we have really been since the first day we ever jammed with each other in the practice house. And now it's we're starting to understand who our fans are and kind of what they want us, you know, to do, you know. And it's really cool, because we just feel like free birds, and we're able to just, you know, if we want to record a song on an album that's got a, you know, 2.5-3 minute, you know, part that's just a jam thing, we can do that now, you know. So
more than that, too, more than just, you know, what our fans want us to do, I feel like doing the blues EP really helped us figure out what we really are at our core, because we've always been a rock band, we've always been a southern rock band, we've always been a blues band and all this, but when we did that, it really brought all of our heads together into one spot, and we really started to see and understand what Blackstone Cherry really is.
That's a great answer. One last thing, Ben, I'm going to toss it to you. I'm a poster collector, and I understand you guys have been doing special posters for all the gigs. Yeah. What was that? What?
No.
Yeah. Crazy. No. Tell me about how the idea came up for it, because, man, there's not enough posters at shows anymore.
I absolutely agree. I love poster art. We all love poster art. I think it's totally old school, and it's a lost form of marketing and merchandising anymore, you know. But no, we just started. It's funny you mentioned that, because this is the second show that we've done one of these special edition posters, and it all comes from the bands like Grateful Dead and Allman Brothers and Little Feet that had their stuff was pieces of art, you know what I mean? And, you know, yeah, so, and like newer bands do it now, you know, our friends Blackberry Smoke, then you had the other jam bands, Widespread Panic. These groups are doing these limited edition, really cool, really vibey one-off pieces of art, and they're limited edition. And it just kind of puts us more into that subculture of music and that audience that, you know, they just want to collect anything. They just want to collect Blackstone Cherry stuff. We've already had people from England and people that aren't even from West Virginia. So, dude, I want that poster. Are those going to be online? You know, we want them. We want them. And that, it makes us happy because that's what we wanted. We wanted that to catch on in that fashion. You know what I mean? That people just, they want it because it's cool. So we're really excited about that, you know. Hopefully we can carry on the tradition that those bands did back in the day where, you know, you had just pieces of art that was advertising a specific show. You know, you can look back on it, and there's limited editions. We only did 50 of these, you know, so whoever has them, that's all there's going to be, you know. So it's a really cool thing. Thank you for asking about it, though, because it's something we're excited about, and we just now are starting to do that, so I think it's going to catch on.
And, Chris, last word, Blues EP, what's the release date for it? And honestly, do you think you might pop out and do some shows based around it?
We hadn't really talked about doing any shows because we got to record a record, but it's something that we would definitely love to do. The EP, Black to Blues, comes out September 29th. It's six songs. It's going to be released digitally and on a blue vinyl, and they're only going to press so many vinyls, I think. 1,000 copies of the vinyl on blue. But it was a true pleasure to make, man, and we hope everybody truly enjoys it.
Always good to talk to you guys, Ben.
Thank you very much, Lou. It's a pleasure.
Chris, you're a good man.
Hey, I try to be. I try to mimic you, buddy.
John, Fred, thanks so much.
Thank you, Lou, very much.
Mr. Lawhorn, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, brother.
Always good to hear from the guys in Blackstone Cherry. Man, they are a hoot. And they are just the nicest guys, very down to earth, very cool. And they write some damn good rock and roll, too. And, of course, thanks to Lou for going out there to, I think it was Shiley Acres, West Virginia, where he did that one. So, you know, he's always traveling around, going to shows and talking to guys and hanging out. So it's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it. And Lou's the man. Thanks to you for listening to Hard Drive DL. We value having your ears with us every week as we bring you the interviews that you want to hear from the rock stars that you love. You can always find us free of charge on the internet, your podcasting platform of choice, iTunes, Google Play, or Blog Talk Radio. Take your pick. Also, if you want more Hard Drive, check us out. HardDriveRadio.com, where we post what's coming up on the show. You can keep abreast of music news in dirt, and you can see who's on tour on the Road Rage page. Also, make sure head on over to Smash or Crash. We always got two great bands every week fighting it out for your votes. If you want more Hard Drive, you can also check us out on socials at Hard Drive Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're always there. It's the internet. It never leaves. Till next time, thanks for listening. I'm Paulie Walnuts, and this was Hard Drive DL.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.